This evening to James chapter 5.
Praise God.
Well, a word of prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, another day that you've given to us, dear Lord. We're thankful for your love and your mercy. Lord, we're thankful for your Spirit, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful for the Spirit that accompanies us every single day, dear Lord.
Yes.
It goes with us and walks with us and just encourages us and blesses us, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, it keeps us on that solid rock, dear Lord, as we read about this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for that. And we want to continue to build on that rock Jesus Christ, dear Lord. Continue to build and establish our ways on that, dear Heavenly Father. Yes. We don't want to get off of it, dear Lord. We don't want to slip away from it and start building on the sinking sand. And dear Lord, because as you said, Jesus, as you told us in that thought there, dear Heavenly Father, that the storms will come.
Yes.
And every single soul of life, dear Heavenly Father, regardless of what condition you're in, what state, what country, what part of the world you're in, dear Heavenly Father, storms will come, and they will beat on our house, and they will the rains, and they shall come and descend, and all these things, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, if we're not founded on that rock, dear Lord, our house will fall. And dear Lord, you mentioned that in the very last part of that, and great was the fall. So Lord, we're thankful for the rock of Christ, dear Heavenly Father, and we want to continue to build on that.
Amen.
We ask you to be with each and every one that's here this evening. You see some thoughts that we have here tonight. We ask you to just anoint and bless in a special way, and we'll certainly thank you for it and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
James chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse 16 here. He says, to confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth in his space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her much fruit. I want to look at verse 16 a little bit, in the latter part of that verse there, and we'll just read the whole thought of it here, the whole verse. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. And the last part of here is what we want to look at this evening, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Mm-hmm. You know, as saints, I always kind of talk about prayer and how important prayer is. You know, something in our lives can affect us to where we can't make church, where we can't be in church. Something in our lives can affect us where we aren't able to read the Word of God. Maybe even not even hear the Word of God. Something our hearing can go to where we can't even listen to a tape. But I thank God, long as we have our reasonable mind and our understanding mind, and if we don't, then we're sealed into eternity, however state we went that way. But we always have the opportunity to pray. To pray. And the thought here, he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And I want to consider the thought there, the effectual prayer. The word effectual, meaning here. And a lot of times I look up, I like looking up definitions. And this particular word, I probably Googled it at first. And this evening as I was going back over my notes, I wanted to see what Webster's definition was. I heard somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody preaching or just somebody making a comment that they had several different dictionaries. I forget what year the first one was, and it came up maybe a little bit later and a little bit later. And you can do that. You can look at dictionaries from a long time ago. Well, I don't even have to say a long time ago, 50, 60, 70 years ago, Webster's and things like that. And you look and go into Google. Let me tell you what, you can get some different ideas of what they look at definitions of.
Amen.
And the successful or the effectual word there means, I believe this is probably, I just Googled it here, and they're similar to the same with Webster's, successful in producing a desired intended results. The word effectual. So he says the effectual fervent prayer. So looking at the first word, effectual, successful in producing a desired or intended results. Now I looked up Webster here, and somewhat the same. I'll use a couple different words. Possessing or exercising adequate power to produce a design effect. You know, sometimes when I preach, mention things, read things, or a verse, and when I go back over it, sometimes we just sit and meditate on that thought. And let it soak in sometimes.
Yes.
Possessing or exercising takes some work to exercise. Mm-hmm. Adequate power to produce a desired effect. Now we see here as the verse went on, Elias was a man subject to like passions we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now the word fervent, I didn't go into, I did go into Webster's, it didn't give a whole lot more different here, but fervent, having or displaying a passionate intensity.
Yes.
Having or displaying a passionate intensity. So he says the effectual fervent prayer. Successful, adequate, something designed for an effect, and displaying a passionate intent. Jesus said one time when he was talking to the disciples, if you remember the story when they brought a man's son to Jesus and he was possessed with devils and they had bound him and he'd thrown himself, I'm thinking, the fire into the water to kill him and things. And he says, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't do anything. Can you do anything? And the man asked Jesus, are you able to do anything? And Jesus asked him, are you able to believe? And Jesus, of course, casts out the enemy out of this young boy. Later on, the disciples pulled Jesus aside and they said, why couldn't we? And Jesus told him, and I, as I said, even last week, I think I made a mention, a lot of times when I read and I say, Lord, help me. Jesus said many times to the disciples as he was with them, ye of little faith. And I think sometimes, Lord, if you were right here and you were speaking to me sometimes, I think you'd say sometimes, ye of little faith. And I believe we can all feel that way. We feel like, Lord, I need more faith. I need more desire. I need more strength in my prayers. I need these things. But Jesus, when they asked Jesus this question, Jesus told them, this kind, delivering this young man from this devil possession, this kind goeth not but much prayer and fasting. It wasn't just something to go up and have effectual prayer and to pray and deliver. This was a little bit different part. I believe the same thing with the man that was in the tombs when he came down and Jesus cast those enemies out also, the devil out there. I think, Lord, help us. I desire that our prayers be effective.
Yeah. Yes.
I believe any saints, our desire is that our prayer is effective. Whether it's for our own personal need or praying for someone else or whatever it may be or just whatever, going deeper into things of God. But Lord, help us that our prayers should be effective. And I believe each one of us can say that. How many times do we pray and expect to get an answer? There again, sometimes I feel like sometimes I should just sit and let us meditate on certain thoughts. How many times do we go to God in prayer and expect to receive an answer? Now I'm going to get in a little bit of thoughts here a little bit in just a few moments. Now I know when our thoughts of expecting, and as mature Christians, we understand that we can request something from God, we can pray for God, but we have to be open and understanding. We have to allow God to work in His direction. Brother Harley and I were talking the other day or last week or something, and he made the comment, and we agreed to the comment. He had some plans going on, as he mentioned, going to Chicago and Guatemala and things like that. And he says, if the Lord will.
Yes, amen.
We have a desire to do this. We have a desire. And Lord, this is what my desire, my prayer, or my need, or my request is. But Lord, we allow you to work in your way.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, sometimes we can get with our effectual, fervent prayer might be hindered because we're asking God maybe a certain way that's against God's will. Lord, this is what I want. God says, no, I need you to be subject to the desires of what I give you.
Amen.
Do we sometimes expect that? Now, as we mentioned many times, and I thank God there's never a time, I truly do thank God there's never a time He's not able to hear everything we ask. Many times we call in the day, and in today's world, it's terrible. Every one of us understand we can make a phone call to anybody. And if we even have anybody pick up on the other side of the phone, we're shocked. But if we don't, and they tell us to leave a message, and they call us back, we're shocked. We just don't expect to get an answer. Lord, help us to have a desire, a stronger desire of prayer. I know God can answer our thoughts, our desires in many different ways. And as I just mentioned, may not be the way we desire. But we have to be willing to allow God to work in His path.
Amen.
We have to be willing to allow God to work in whatever ways we may present to Him, whether it be needs or sickness or whatever. Different ones have said sometimes in the last several years, and I remember someone saying these things, and I can attest to the same thing. Sometimes we even get surprised when God answers certain prayers. Quickly, maybe, I should say. I use that in my thought. Sometimes I've gone to God in prayer and asked the Lord for something or dealing with something, and it seems like God answers quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and I sit back and say, Lord, what faith did I have to take hold of that compared to over here? I may pray weeks, months, and maybe, and who knows how long, Amen. And I may not see what I desire. But we have to leave that with God. God has to answer prayers in his way. How often is our prayer sometimes repetition? You know, Zacchaeus, I think of sometimes we think of repetition and we put in our prayers. Bible, Jesus told him, he says, don't be as, I think, I didn't write this down. I think he said, don't be as the hypocrites do, I think, and pray in the synagogues with long prayers and just say the same thing over and the same, repeat the same thing over. They're known for their long prayers because they just say the same thing over. Or some people, I can remember even as a young Christian, I think Brother Davis used to say that the church, coming in the house of God, is not the place to catch up on your prayer life. You don't come here and it's Wednesday night prayer meeting and you spend 2 hours praying, and at home you don't even give God 2 seconds or 5 minutes. At home is a place that we should cry out to God. At home is a place where we should spend a great deal of time in prayer, and in the house of God is a time we should maybe give more God praise and thanksgiving. Zacchaeus, one time, he went into the temple and to pray, and the people were outside praying, and the Bible says that they marveled how long he was in there. You know, our prayer lives are an effect to us.
Amen.
I believe every one of us can testify. It takes almost as much energy or as much effort to get in a mindset of prayer as it does to pray. I've always used this, and when I was saved, I wasn't saved, first camp meeting I went to, I've told you this before, in the early morning prayer meeting, whoever the chairperson was, they made a comment. They said, when we go to God in prayer, and if you do this, I don't hold anything of that, is when we get down to God, get our mindset first to pray. And I always remember that, just to get down, sort of realize who you're talking to. Get a minute, take a breath for a minute.
Amen.
Before we go into pray. The disciples, one time, they asked Jesus, teach me how to pray. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear Jesus pray. The men on the way to Emmaus, when they sat with him the meal, and he started to pray, their eyes were open. The disciples said, teach us how to pray. And we know that model prayer that Jesus gave. I think over there in Matthew, you know how the model prayer was. Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, it's over there in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 14, 15 there. He's our Father who art in heaven. That model prayer. And I've heard other people, and I like sometimes when people do that. I like when people start out prayer like that. And now they don't do it all the time, but just on occasion. Our Father, recognizing, begin with, who I'm speaking with.
Amen.
I believe that's the most important thing. Our Father, to recognize who we are speaking to.
Yes.
I remember Sister Ann and Sister Jerry with the children. They did it for months down there. They had the Lord's Prayer on there. And I mean, they thoroughly went through almost word by word. And I was a teacher there. And I learned just as much, sometimes maybe more than the children did. Just they thoroughly went through some of those words. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Honoring, respect,
yes,
giving him glory. Holy. Recognizing who is. But that model of prayer, Lord, give us an understanding of how to pray. Give us that time. Teach us how to pray. You know, there's no other better way to learn than to practice.
Yes.
At home. You know, we've heard people pray sometimes out loud, and if you want to prove how deep your walk is with Christ, pray out loud one time and you'll prove that your walk is not as deep as it should be. Now, sometimes that may hurt to hear some people. But we've heard people pray and they stumble and they fall, and I know nerves have a part of it, and they don't have any idea how to put an I before E or E or everything, and they just make a mess. When we practice to pray, practice spending time at home. I've heard people come in, never heard them before, never seen them before, and they pray. I can tell they're used to praying at home. They're used to praying before God many times in many other places, and not just practicing here. When's the last time we went to prayer? Desiring, expecting, and intending a result. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Help us not to be as the heathen, Jesus says, they use, as we mentioned, as they use vain repetitions in their prayers. Let's go to Mark chapter 11.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Mark chapter 11. In verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." You know, how often do we limit God? How often do we pray for little things? And I got written in my notes here, how often do we pray for little things? How often do we pray for big things? So the question is, what's a little thing and what's a big thing? I remember one time saying something to my dad. I don't remember what we were even talking or how we got on the subject. But I said, I don't know, there was a sickness, somebody might have been sick or whatever. I said, let's just use cancer. I don't know if that was what we were talking about. I said, it's a shame that people can't come up with a cure for cancer. I said, it would be nice if somebody could come up with a cure for cancer, and it would be just as concerning to us as the common cold. And he said, well, they don't have a cure for the common cold either. And I thought about that. And time goes on, you think about what little thing. So we say, Lord, if somebody were to say they have cancer, that's a serious thing. Amen. But if somebody were to call and say, you know, I got a cold, how many of us would, yeah, okay. You'll live anyway, you'll get over that.
Right.
But what are big things and what are little things? Well, one of those big things and little things affect our faith in prayer. And sometimes we may have greater faith in praying for some of the larger things because they're greatly concerning to us more than the small things. Do we limit our prayers? Do we go to God in prayer and just maybe try to have more faith in the smaller things, and they still don't work because our faith is not that way? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, And this is a scripture that I quote many times, and I enjoy it, and I meditate, and I absorb it many times in my own thoughts and life. As Ephesians 3:20 said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us."
Glory.
That's very important.
To Christ. Christ is the one that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Mm-hmm. I love to encourage myself with that sometimes. I love to pray that way sometimes. And I love to ask God, the one man that brought his son to Jesus. And what a statement the man said to Jesus. And he says, "I brought my son to your disciples. They prayed, they couldn't do anything. If you can do anything, can you help me?" Jesus turned it back around to him. He says, "If you can believe," and the man, we can associate with what the man said. He goes, "Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. Help that part of me that is having a problem believing and holding on to faith."
Yes.
Because the Bible says Jesus can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask. The word says, all that I can ask or think. I can think a lot. I believe sometimes that God gives us a burden for certain prayers. God puts a burden on us for certain prayers. And I hope that from time to time, I've said this, I hope from time to time God puts a burden on you. How is your prayer life? Can God call upon you one time and say, "You know what? You need to go pray for a certain situation right now."
Yeah, amen.
Just, you need to pray. You need to stop and pray. And if that were to ever happen, you know, a lot of times when I come up here on Saturday nights and I get my message and I come up, I don't know why I do it. I think I did it because when we first, when first started, just come up and check the answer machine, check this, check the heat, check everything, make sure. You know, we have any water leaks or whatever. I don't know what. I used to come up here on Saturday night, get my message, and I left it here all the time. And there had been a rare occasion I forget to come up on Saturday night, and I got to come up on Sunday morning because I go over my message. But when I get ready to leave here, I walk down there, I get ready to leave, and God says, "Why don't you take some time to pray? Why don't you just sit down and pray for a little bit?" For no reason. Well, you know what? I say, "You know what, I got some things to do," and go, "You know what, God may never do that to me again." Yeah. Or it may be a long time. When does God tell you, "Why don't you take some time to pray? You're busy, you're running, you've got things that's going on in life throughout every day." God says, "Take some time to pray right now. Just get away somewhere, get by yourself somewhere, go somewhere and just spend some time in prayer." Maybe not about anything, maybe thanking God, just asking God for help, whatever. Can God ask us from time to time, "Can you pray? Can you get away and pray? Can you stop for a few minutes in your busy schedule?" And I'm not talking about your time that you dedicate to pray. If you pray in the morning, you pray in the evening, you pray in the afternoon, the particular time that is scheduled that you take out of your day to pray. I'm talking about those other times where God says, "Hey, I'll spend a little bit of time praying. Can we pray? Can we have that burden to pray? Can we do that to draw closer?" Paul's writing this here, and Paul makes a comment. And no doubt Paul's seen some things in his life. And if you study that, the life and history of Paul, I mean, he went through some marvelous things that God took him through.
Amen.
I think when he was on that ship and the ship was ready to suffer shipwreck, and how God worked all that out. He was a prisoner, and he became one that was giving the captain of the ship orders and commands what to do. He told him, he says, "I told you we shouldn't have left from," I don't remember the ports, "but we shouldn't have left from the last port. I told you we shouldn't have left because we're going to suffer great things, and you didn't listen to me, but be encouraged. God has let us know we're all going to be safe if you listen to me." He is a prisoner, and they listened to him. That didn't come because Paul didn't spend some time in prayer. Paul spent some time in prayer. Jesus can do exceedingly abundantly above He saw great things. We were talking about back in here in Mark, and I didn't mean to go, leave Mark. I'm going to go back to Mark chapter 11 there. Mark chapter 11, we read verse 24. I just want to back up one to verse 23. Jesus says here, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." Ever had any mountains in your life?
Oh, yeah. It's a challenge.
Now again, as we quoted the song, talked about the song. When we're up on a mountain, it's easy to praise God. It's easy to thank God. You know what? Sometimes it's not easy to do is pray when you're up on a mountain. Things are well.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, everything's going well. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Get up and go on your way. But down in the valley, the Bible says that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, probably no greater valley than that right there. There was probably no greater valley. Even the cross. Because once he got through the Garden of Gethsemane, he was able to forbear the cross. In the garden there, he prayed greatly. And the Bible says that his sweat was as great drops of blood. And he got up, went back to his disciples. They were asleep. He went back three times. He had to go three times to pray before he gained victory to face the cross.
Yes.
How many times do we go to God in prayer? Sometimes I often think about our faith and my faith when I think about me. The time I asked God many years ago to heal me, I was a young man, wasn't saved long, and I had an infection in my foot. I don't know what it was, but it was a bad infection on my foot. And the doctor had given me some cream and had given it to me, and I put it on for a week or so. And I was probably, I don't know if I was even 20 yet, and it went away. And so you know what happens after it goes away? You stop using whatever they give to you to get rid of it. I stopped using it. A couple days later, it came right back. I put it on a little bit here, a little bit there, then put it on and sort of kept it at bay a little bit. But I remember one night in my room, I remember this so clearly. And I remember when I had pulled my one sock off, and because there was a spot on the top of my foot right there that was scabby-like, and it had some blood, and my sock was stuck to it and all. And I remembered looking at that, and I remember this very thought in my mind. I said, "Lord, I'm going to put your word under arrest and hold you to what you said you would answer. You would heal me if I ask." And I prayed. I opened my eyes, nothing changed. I don't know how many times I prayed that very moment, 2, 3, 4 times, went and got a shower, prayed in the shower, got out of the shower, prayed. And I didn't get down on my knees and pray, but I said, "Lord," I got to the point, I said, "Lord, heal my foot." I don't know if it was, but I think it was just one foot. It was that way. I said, "Heal my foot." That's all I kept saying. And that went on for like 2 weeks, Lord, and I kept it before God. And I remember I was sitting home one evening, and I had set my, I was still living with my mom and dad, still living there, and I put my feet up on an ottoman or whatever, and that, I think it was this foot, and as I looked at it, I could see that it had cleared, that it had started to heal.
Praise God.
And I immediately got up, went to my room, and thanked God, and he healed me completely. And never to this day have I ever had that issue again. Sometimes I think about that when I go to God in other times of prayer. I said, "Lord, I know we don't use the same faith or use the same pattern of how we pray, but Lord, help us from time to time to have a confidence in prayer." You know, we often, somebody prayed here, maybe it was Brother Danny, somebody prayed here not too long ago for Brother Walter, for his back. You know, Brother Gilbert that just passed away not too many months ago, and he had a testimony. And from time to time, saints, we need to thank God and give God praise for what he had done for us.
Yes.
I'm not saying we have to spend an hour or whatever, but thank God. I remember when God healed me and he touched me and I brought it to him. Brother Gilbert, his testimony, he told us several times. I think if I understood it right, it was during a revival service and they had a divine healing. And if I remember, he said he came right up here in his first pew and he sat right there. And he said he had a back trouble from a young boy. If I remember right, I think somebody had jumped on his back, a young boy, and messed up his back. And his mom used to take potato bags, sack bags, and wrap him. Back then, they didn't have any straps, and just wrap him tight to get him through. Worked at Bethlehem Steel all them years and went home many times for his bad back and things infected with it or just hurt. And he said he sat right here, and he said, I can feel the moving of God working on me. And he said, I prayed. I said, Lord, wait till the ministry come pray, because there were several that came to pray. And he said, when he sat down, he felt like taking the shoes off like Moses. He felt like he was on holy ground. He said, when the ministers came and they prayed, he says, it felt like somebody took their fingers, and it was the hand of God, and went right down his back and fixed his back. He never had another trouble after that. Several years later, he was on a ladder, I believe, at home, and not real high, and he fell off that ladder and landed. And he thought, oh, my back. But he was well by the grace of God. But see, those are prayers that are answered. Does everybody get that prayer? No. But Lord, do we seek it sometimes? The effectual, fervent prayer. Lord, I want for you to get the glory and the praise for you working through my life.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to have our greater prayers. Help us to exercise this. Verse 23 there, for I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be cast, and moved away. But he says there to exercise some things. Are we exercising our faith? How is our prayer? Is it routine? Or is it effective? Is it routine or effectual? Is it routine or successful? How is our prayer? And I ask that for myself too. Many times do we go to God in prayer and get into prayer? The Bible says when you got into your closet and shut the door, get into prayer. Get into the mindset of God. This morning, as we went to prayer this morning, and as I sat up here and prayed, and I always pray, whoever prays, I always pray, I say, Lord, I need your help for another service. I need your anointing. But this morning, we had a lot of visitors. Pam was here, and the other people were here. Sometimes just a lot of people were here. And I felt the burden. I said, Lord, and I've really and intensely prayed. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. There's souls that are here. Lord, I can't just bring a message. There's souls that need to, I understand, I need to bring the Word of God in such a way to where your spirit can have freedom to work with their souls. Now, thank God, God gave me freedom, great freedom this morning. Now, thank God for that. Sometimes we don't know. We got to go to the Lord sometimes, and we don't. God can answer. God can work. Sometimes it may take some time. As Jesus, he had to go back three times and said, Lord, if it be willing, if it be your will, allow this cup to pass from me. He had to do that three times before he came to the place. He said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done.
Amen.
Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. He says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I know this verse refers mostly to people that need to be saved and looking for Christ, but I believe it can be the same way as our prayer. Yeah. And ye shall seek me. I think some, and I, again, I'm just saying this for my own self. I say, Lord, help me. There again, I use the word routine. I think sometimes we just go through a routine prayer. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We have model prayers of our own that we go through, and we have a process of how we go through our prayers and everything. But from time to time, help us, Lord. I said something to somebody not too long ago, maybe in Hagerstown. I said, you know, sometimes we need to go to God in prayer and not say a word. I thought the verse he was going to quote this morning, which is a verse that I like, and I don't remember where it is in Psalms there, it says, be still.
Yes.
And know that I am God. I don't mean just sit there, bring our minds into a spiritual realm to be with God. Sometimes just to be still. I know many times we can pray. We can pray driving down the road. I often say it a lot of times. I meditate and pray even cutting grass or sitting outside and looking at nature, whatever. But to concentrate, to take some time and to seek, to search with all of your heart.
Yes.
Sometimes, Lord, we need to ask God for a burden. Give me a burden. Give me a burden of prayer. Brother Greg used it during revival. He used the word prayer warriors. He had a prayer meeting before the revival. Each night, a couple nights there during the week, he had prayer meetings. He said, I'm thankful for the prayer warriors. Prayer warriors, consistent, people that are consistent in praying, faithful in praying, faithful at their post of duty.
Yeah.
The same Jeremiah 33, very familiar verse. You probably know where I'm going with this one. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When's the last time you've asked God to show you something? I've mentioned this several different times because I do it often. When's the last time you've got down on your knees to pray and say, you know, Lord, I want you to reveal something to me today. I want you to show me yourself. Show me something, whether it be through the word, whether it be through your spirit. Lord, I want to have that personal relationship with you. Call upon me. God says there, call upon me and I will answer thee. And show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thomas, one time he said, Lord, I'm not going to believe until I see something. I always liked Thomas. He got a raw deal. That little bit of a thing, he said, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. He got the nickname of Doubting Thomas. Lord, help us to have a revelation, a great blessing. Just being in the very presence of God. When's the last time our prayers have been effectual? When's the last time our prayers have been fervent? And there again, I'll repeat those definitions one more time. I'll give you Webster's definition for effectual. Possessing or exercising adequate prayer or power to produce a desired effect. And having or displaying a passionate intent as far as fervent. Help us, Lord. When's the last time our prayers have been effective in our personal, private prayer life? May the Lord bless you as I have a song.
Praise
God. On page 159.
Yeah.
Treasure store, pay myself for.